Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion joining in with our discussion today. We're talking about today, who is this child? We celebrate Christmas, and that's wonderful, but who is the Christ child of Christmas that we celebrate? Why do we celebrate him, and who is he? We'll be talking about that today. And I have Pastor Davis with me today. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for being here. This special Christmas season, we have the joy and the wonderful opportunity to talk about a subject that is my favorite, that is, who is Jesus Christ? But thank you for being with us today.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for inviting me to be here. As always on Fridays, it's always a pleasure to be here to speak to the people of God. Amen. So that we can keep up with the things that are real concerning the scripture.
Yes.
We must not ever get to where we get in an area to where we feel like the scriptures are not true.
That's right.
Or maybe we're reading fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't have a reason to want to lead us in areas that will cause us to live a life of falsehood.
That's right.
Because, amen, he is the truth.
That's right.
So he said, amen, my word is truth,
mm-hmm.
and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Absolutely.
So through that, Dr. Youngblood, I think it's a great honor and a privilege for us to sit down and discuss this word with the people of God.
Amen.
So that we can walk in truth, because there's so much falsehood in the world on today.
Falsehood.
So we really need Christ in our lives.
Absolutely. So ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about it, you've just heard Pastor Davis kind of touch on where we're going today. Be talking about the truth of the word of God. We ask the question, who is this child? And let me remind you, as I do always on this broadcast, part of the monologue, talking about truth. As we share the truth, we look at everything through the eyes of Scripture. It's having the central biblicist worldview. And as Pastor Davis just spoke of just a moment ago, it's the Lord Jesus that said in John 14:6, I am truth. In John 8:31-32, he reminds his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is what we ought to seek after. Truth is found only in the Word of God. Any place else, ladies and gentlemen, it's a shade or a shadow or a copy of or a mirror of trying to get into truth, which is not actually truth at all. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually true today. If I could use that term, ladies and gentlemen, we have a statement by the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that says America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And I believe that's exactly what we find today. Truth is something that is not relevant, not real, not respected, not viewed as revered at all in society today. We're finding that when you look at what is happening with the passage of legislation in the Beltway in Washington. It is the Disrespect for Marriage. They call it the Respect for Marriage Act, but it's a disrespect for marriage. Marriage is holy matrimony, according to the Word of God, and the Disrespect for Marriage Act is something that is saying that we're going to give accolades, embrace, celebrate sodomite marriages. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is simply another step away from God. I believe it's simply another point and part of the declension of what we're finding in America. The morals,
amen,
and ethics and values in America are just simply bottoming out, and this kind of is capstone on it. But when we talk about truth, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's what I encourage you to do each and every day on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. May I say to you, we need to seek the truth and love it. We need to stand for it, even if we stand facing the firing squad, if you please. We need to face the facts that truth is the word of God. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, it says the truth of the Lord endures forever. It is something that will stand the test of time.
Amen.
It is something that is not a replication or a duplication or an imitation. It is the truth. When Jesus said, I am truth, we need to understand it is the truth of the word of God. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus said, thy word is truth. So there ought not to be a reason for us to question or challenge what we're going to talk about today. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. That's your connection to this broadcast, this program today, that allows you to jump in with your dialogue and discussion. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brand equipment, such as Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. There's a good benchmark to help you find the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you can find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Just drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait to see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about who is this child. We're talking about it because being in the Christmas season and recognizing, ladies and gentlemen, that around the globe, every people of every people group, every language background, every heritage and culture will in some fashion celebrate Christmas. I watched the other evening one of the travel programs that Rick Steves, I believe his name is, that has the travel program that comes on television, and he was showing that very thing, high profiling the different specters and the different aspects of the celebration of Christmas around the globe. Fascinating broadcast, because all of them, all people, will celebrate Christmas. But one of the problems that we find is many people around the globe today do not recognize why we're celebrating Christmas. Many will celebrate it as a holiday. Many will celebrate Christmas as a day of being with family. Many will celebrate Christmas as a time of having a wonderful meal. But so many people, ladies and gentlemen, do not know the real reason for the celebration of Christmas in the Christmas season. Think about it. Most today will celebrate it simply as a day off. Children out of school, good food, time to be off from work. But we'll miss the whole point that Christmas is the celebration of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the celebration of God coming down to man in the form of what we call the Christ child. Ladies and gentlemen, the question needs to be asked, though, who is this child? Who is the babe that we depict in the Bethlehem manger? Who is this Christmas Jesus? Let me just introduce it this way. Perhaps you've never heard it put this way before. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus had no earned degrees. He didn't go to college. He didn't go to university. He never owned a home. Never owned a home. Ladies and gentlemen, he had no recognition in society in which he came into. He was a carpenter's son, though it was his stepdad. We still call it a carpenter's son. He worked in the carpenter shop. He never wrote a book. He never published any great articles, as we'd call it today, by academics and others. Though I might make a caveat there. If Jesus Christ is God, and he is, from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation in 22 chapters, Jesus Christ wrote it because he's God.
Amen.
And that's part of what
Amen.
We'll talk about today. He was rejected by his own when he came into the world. Ladies and gentlemen, he died on the cross as a common criminal. And the scripture says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. So who is this child? Ladies and gentlemen, some people say that Jesus is a good example. Some people say that he's a prophet. Some people say that he's simply a good teacher. Some people say that Jesus Christ is simply a mystical, magical being. And that's been stated by some of the recent years, that some of the statements they've made when they had what they called the Jesus Seminar for about 10 years. They were going through the process of looking at the scripture and analyzing the scripture and trying to decide who is Jesus Christ. And it was the one that led that seminar that finally said that he is simply a mystical, magical being, that he is not God at all. But ladies and gentlemen, that's contrary to what the scripture says. That's contrary to what the totality of the scripture tells us. Let me just simply say this, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps you've not heard it put this way before, but see, in this season, there'll be the celebration of Kwanzaa. And we'll talk about that later in this season. Kwanzaa is a made-up, fake, phony holiday. Has nothing to do with Christmas whatsoever. We'll talk about that at another time. But ladies and gentlemen, Buddha died, and he's still dead. Muhammad died, and he's still in the grave. Jesus Christ died, and on the third day, he rose again. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we serve a resurrected, risen, live Savior today.
Amen.
His name is Jesus. And that's what we want to talk about on this broadcast today. Jesus died and rose again. And since we serve a risen Savior, we need to know who he is. We need to know something about this Savior that we celebrate at this season of the year called Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the Christmas season. So, Pastor Davis, briefly what I want us to talk about is four very brief things in relationship to answering the question. Now, we could go for hours and hours and hours, ladies and gentlemen, going through the theological, doctrinal, biblical recitation of answering the question of who is this child. We're going to truncate it for the benefit of the clock that we look at that seems to race when we get on the air talking about Christmas and Christmas themes and other theological studies about the scripture. But ladies and gentlemen, when we ask the question, who is this child, we're going to talk about it in four different aspects. Jesus is prophesied, Jesus is publicized, Jesus is personified, and Jesus is personalized. And when we talk about that, I believe that boils down the major, major, major scriptures about Jesus. In fact, one theologian, Dr. John Walford, has written a book on the prophecies about Jesus. I've never counted them, but apparently he did. He says about 337 verses of scripture, about 337 texts in the scripture that talks about, prophesies the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of them were fulfilled. And if that is true, ladies and gentlemen, all of the prophecies about Jesus' second coming, we can count on just as much as we know from fact. All of the scriptures about his first coming have been fulfilled theologically, doctrinally, biblically, just as God's word said it would be.
Amen.
So
Amen.
When we talk about that, Pastor Davis, he is prophesied. I want us to read, if you will, for us, Pastor, read Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 7, because in Isaiah 53, 1 through 7, it points out something I believe very clearly that we need to recognize that is valid and so valuable in our talking about this subject today. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 7. And these verses, ladies and gentlemen, this text in Isaiah was written about 750 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it sets the stage on who he is and what we celebrate. Read the first seven verses, Pastor, in Isaiah 53.
Amen. Now, let's take a very good look at verse number 1.
Yes.
Because it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, as a believer, if you don't believe in the scriptures, you really have a problem.
That's right.
Because God is saying here, and the prophet is putting it in the form of a question.
Yes.
Who hath believed our report?
Mm-hmm.
Because he got the report from God, and he knew that God's word was true.
Absolutely.
But now he's beginning to publish that.
Publicize it.
So he wants to know who.
That's right.
Hath believed our report. This is what he had to say about him. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But, that's a conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth.
Amen. And those personal pronouns over and over and over in the text, contrary to some belief, some say that they, in fact, the Jewish rabbis mainly say that Isaiah 53 is talking about Israel and the Jewish people, but Israel's never been referred to in the feminine pronoun in this text, or never been referred to as in the masculine pronoun. And this is talking about he throughout the scripture in Isaiah 53, and it's 750 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's prophesying the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is fulfilled in the New Testament in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and following. We'll look at it in a moment. But Pastor, this one that's prophesied in the scripture is the Christ child of Christmas that we celebrate. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that was wounded for our transgressions, was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we're healed.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about answering the question, who is this child? Who is this child? We'd love to hear from you. If you've got questions about Christmas, got questions about how or why we celebrate Christmas, if you've got questions about who we celebrate at the Christmas time, if you've got questions in relationship to how to have a personal relationship to the Christ of Christmas, we'd love to hear from you. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Pastor Davis, this one that is spoken of in Isaiah 53, we go back further in the book of Isaiah. We go to Isaiah 7:14, and in Isaiah 7:14, it points out, the scripture says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophecy 750 years before Jesus came in Isaiah speaking about Jesus is more clearly stated in the 14th verse of the 7th chapter. It says that Jesus Christ, let me paraphrase it for you, that Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas, the child in the manger scene in Bethlehem that we celebrate as the image and the picture for Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says in Isaiah 7:14 that he would be born of a virgin.
Amen. Amen.
Now, one of the things ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've had a pastor to tell you this. Perhaps you've had some theologians that if you've read mine and you believe this, they say that Jesus Christ was not truly born of a virgin, because in the Hebrew text, in Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive, and it's the Hebrew word Alma, A-L-H-M-A, Alma. Alma simply means a young maiden. And in many of the modern translations, may I just pause for a moment? Most of the modern translations are good for putting wallpaper on a toilet house, but without having any real essence of truth, because it's been watered down. So many if not most of the modern translations will simply say here in this Isaiah 7:14 that he was to be born of a young maiden. And that's the correct translation of the Hebrew text about a virgin. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Ladies and gentlemen, in the first chapter of the book of Luke, Luke's gospel, Pastor, let's turn there. Luke's gospel, chapter 1, the scripture says, I'll read this, first two verses are the verse 26 and 27. Then we're going to talk about this. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Hebrew text in Isaiah 7:14, it is the word Alma, which simply means a young maiden, because it was understood in that culture and in that setting, a young maiden that's unmarried would never have had sex with a man. So therefore, it was called a young maiden, Alma, a virgin shall conceive. But in the Greek text in Luke 1, 26 and 27, it says a virgin, that's the name's Mary, and it's the word Parthenos. The word Parthenos means a young woman never having had sexual relationship with a man. God wanted to make sure that we understand that his coming into this world in the form of man was not because of the seed of man. It was because of God and God supernaturally placing that in the womb of Mary.
Amen.
So that he could come in the form of man. Pastor, it's a wonderful, wonderful study. In fact, back in 1984, I had the privilege of publishing a book, authoring and publishing a book entitled Could Jesus Sin? And the major thrust of that book, the theme of that book, 224 pages with several hundred footnotes in relationship to validation of all that's said, it talks about the virgin birth. And ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing here in the text, Jesus Christ is prophesied, and in the prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture is very, very clear that he would be virgin born.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Virgin born, we call it the Son of God. It is the virgin born Son of God.
Amen.
It is God coming in the flesh.
Now, you know, Dr. Youngblood, let me just say
just
right
jump
there,
in.
Because it was just moving me
yes.
so much as you began to read and explain, expound, amen, on the very truths.
Amen.
Of the prophecy. Remember now, you just read from Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
and Isaiah was prophesying.
Yes.
Now it's being manifested to us through the gospel.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
Amen. Because, you see, I'm not a prophet, neither mm-hmm. the son of a
That's
prophet.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amos 7:14-15 said that.
Amen. Amen. But I'm so grateful that I'm in a position to where God has blessed me to be able to believe his word enough to receive the gospel.
Amen.
Because when we go back to the book of Romans,
mm-hmm.
with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness.
That's right.
And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Amen. Amen.
So my friend, what I'm trying to tell you on today, if you're not believing in the Bible, the whole Bible as the truth,
mm-hmm.
prophecy, we're telling you this on today, has been manifested to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Christ came on the scene, he came preaching the gospel.
That's right.
And a lot of times he quoted prophecy.
That's right. Old Testament.
So,
That's right.
amen. All of these things came together in one in order to present the plan of salvation to us through the gospel.
Amen.
I'm so grateful for that.
Amen.
Praise God.
In fact, as I've said so often, and I am, how would you say, prone to do so many, many times during the Christmas season, Had Jesus never come, we'd never had the Gospels. We would have never had the truth of the Word of God. There'd never been a fulfillment of Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 7:14.
Amen.
If Jesus had never come.
Amen.
If Jesus had never come, there'd never been a potentiality or possibility of saying yes to Him as Savior and as Lord. Had Jesus never come, there'd be no church, no Christian, no celebration of Christmas.
Amen.
But
Amen.
It's because of the prophecies that we see. Jesus Christ is prophesied. Ladies and gentlemen, and the prophecy in the Isaiah text was 750 years before Jesus came. And that prophecy was fulfilled, as we see, in Luke's gospel in the first chapter.
Amen.
Pastor, turn over in that gospel of Luke, the first chapter, and turn to verse 35. I want our listeners to understand, when we're talking about this, the seriousness of this issue of Jesus Christ's birth being prophesied.
Amen.
Mary was in consternation. Mary was anxious. Mary was in amazement when Angel Gabriel said that she was going to have a child. And she basically said, how is this possible, Gabriel? I've never had sex with a man. How is it possible for me to give birth to a child? And the angel Gabriel answered that question in verse 35 with what in chapter 1 of Luke's gospel. Gabriel answered that question for her. Read that for us, Pastor, and let's talk about it.
Amen. And just let me say, Dr. Youngblood, on to that before we go into this. Many virgins waited around the temple wanting to be the one that God had chosen to bring the Savior into the world. But Mary was blessed and highly favored.
That's right.
And this angel is getting ready to announce that news to her. So, verse 35 says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
Amen.
So how great is that?
It's a
Amen.
In fact, Pastor, that is a theological, doctrinal, biblical truth that could be expounded upon in total book form as to the virgin birth. Ladies and gentlemen, that 35th verse of Luke's gospel, the first chapter, it tells us how the virgin birth took place. And basically, if you put it in the Youngblood vernacular, the Holy Spirit of God brooded over the womb of Mary,
Amen.
Impregnated Mary with the seed of God, that Jesus Christ would be born and that he would be God come into flesh.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Jesus' blood is God's blood. The blood that flowed on Mount Calvary on that cross 2,000 plus years ago, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, was God's blood. It was the blood of God that flowed in the veins of Jesus that allowed him to be holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. It was the blood of God flowing in the human veins of Jesus Christ, the Christ child that we talk about at the Christmas season. It was the blood of God flowing in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ that was pure, holy blood. It was God's blood. He was sinless. He was separate from sinners. He was high, holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners, as the scripture says. He had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin because the blood that flowed in his veins was God's blood. And the ladies and gentlemen, the reason that is so important for us to understand is because you could take the blood of every human being on the face of the globe, and it would not be sufficient to save one soul.
Amen.
You can take the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's efficacious, beneficial for salvation because it is God's blood. When we say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, we are robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason it's so important for us to understand as we celebrate Christmas, we do so celebrating the Christ child that is the reason for the season called Christmas, and he is virgin born, and he is very God, and it's prophesied in the scripture in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, Jesus Christ is God come into flesh, and it's his blood that is efficacious for all our sins. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.